In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Being a Christian isn't always easy. You would think, in some ways, that at least it would be more glorious because we are sons and daughters of a heavenly King. And yet, when we look at our lives, they seem so ordinary and full of pains and hardships, the frustrations and failures that are common to everyone. And when we take an honest assessment of our own lives and hearts, they so often don't look any holier or special than those of our neighbors. And so it is. Life can be pretty discouraging. Our Old Testament reading gives us a picture of the children of Israel after 430 years of slavery in Egypt. God gloriously delivered his people from the oppression of Pharaoh. They crossed the Red Sea in dry ground and witnessed the destruction of Pharaoh's army with all its chariots and horses. In Exodus 15, the Israelites sang joyfully, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea." They were God's people, redeemed and saved from their enemy. And they were on their way to the promised land. What came next for the Israelites? Well, we could say that their new life got off to a pretty good start. After the Exodus, our Lord led his people to a place called Elim, where they found 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, a perfect oasis. It was as if the Israelites had reached the promised land, as if they were tasting paradise, and we are really excited with all this, with this new life. And this reminds me of the excitement that comes with new beginnings. Wedding, the birth of a child, a new job, a new friendship. There's a lot of goodwill and hope, even a bit of spiritual high. We think and want to believe that it will be smooth sailing. But no, it never works that way, doesn't it? Unfortunately, all the excitement does not last. It never does. Good times are followed by bad. Happy times by hardship. And no high can last forever. Time on the mountaintop is followed by a pilgrimage through the valley. The first crisis of the Israelites came with hunger. After leaving Elim, they headed out into the desert. After a month or so, things turned sour. They had no food. They were hungry, really hungry. For a lot of us, hunger isn't much a problem. Many of us actually could use a little more exercise and a little less food. But the Israelites were hungry and began to long for Egypt, the land of slavery, where at least they had food. And we know the story, how God rained down upon them bread from heaven, and how they ate and were satisfied. And now, in Exodus chapter 17, still in the desert, we come to crisis number two. Moving along the desert, according to the commands of God, they camped at a place called Rephidim. The problem? There was no water. Now, that's a big problem. Bigger than a lack of food. If you have ever been thirsty, really thirsty, you know how bad it can be. Your mouth dries, your energy decreases, and there is nothing else you can think about. And then, just imagine all the mothers worry for their children. This was a big deal. Sometimes we think about the Israelites as grumblers and ungrateful. And that's true. But they had good reason to wonder, what is God up to? Why has He delivered us out of Egypt if we are going to go hungry and thirsty? Why has He led us out of the land of death only to let us die in the wilderness? As a Christian, you might feel this way from time to time. If my Lord has done so much to save me from sin, death, and the devil, why has He let me down? Why has He left me suffering? If He is the Lord of bounty, why does He not provide? If He is the source of goodness, why does not more of that goodness come my way? There are preachers out there that promise a better life, saying that Jesus wants you to live in abundance with every earthly blessing right here and now. But that doesn't seem to be the way God deals with His people. It's interesting to see what happens next with the thirsty people of Israel. They ask Moses, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, what shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. The Lord then told Moses to take some elders with him and pass before the people. And our Lord added, behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. And sure enough, in the sight of the elders, Moses struck the rock, and water came from the rock, and the people drank. They had wondered, is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not? And the answer was, yes. Yes, the Lord was indeed with His people. What can we learn from all this? Should we be hard on the Israelites for their attitude toward God? Well, I suppose we could, but would we be any different? Is grumbling always bad? I suppose we could say that we are called to fear, love, and trust God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and that's all true. But trust cannot be commanded, and it doesn't develop overnight. It's remarkable that in this story, God doesn't chastise His people. In the Exodus from Egypt, they knew the redemption and saving power of the Lord. In the paradise of springs and palm trees at Elim, they learn of a Lord who wanted to bring His people back to paradise, to a paradise greater than Elim. But in the meantime, there would be real hunger and thirst. And for that hunger and thirst, the Lord would rain down manna from heaven and bring forth living water from a rock. Yes, our Lord would provide for his people. And in doing so, he would show that he was the one who provided. That he was a Lord in whom they could put all their trust. In the desert, our Lord was building a relationship with his people. And he was very, very patient. He is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. What does that mean for us? We would do well to expect hardships and not be surprised when things go bad. So often, it is in the difficulties and tough times that we remember our Lord and that we learn to rely on Him. In good times, it's so easy to lose sight that God is the giver of all things. No food fills our stomach unless it has been given by God, and no water quenches our thirst unless it comes from our good and gracious Lord. But even more, these stories point us to a greater hunger and a greater thirst that only God can satisfy. Our Lord says in Matthew 5, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? Is it for bread and water? No. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Apart from Jesus, we are empty, with a hole, not in our stomach, but in our heart. And we can fill it with all sorts of things, but we can only be truly satisfied with Jesus, who is the bread of life, who is himself the manna that God rains down to us from heaven. So it is. Whenever we come to communion, we eat the true and good manna. We taste the bread of life. The truth is, life is often a desert dreary. Sickness, death, and decay are all around us. But our Lord provides us with a heavenly bread, which is his very flesh, given for the life of the world so that we might never hunger again, so that we might be full and satisfied, so that though we die, we may die, yet we shall live. And in the same way, our Lord also provides for us living water. It is the same water he provided to that Samaritan woman in our gospel reading from John chapter 4 this morning. Now, there you can see a woman who was thirsty. Thirsty for something that the world could not provide. She tried. She tried to fill her life with men, hoping that the next one would make her happy, but he wouldn't. He couldn't work. Nothing can fill our ultimate longing but the man, Christ himself. He is our source of living water. He is the lamb that was slain, from whom comes the river of life that washes our sins away. He is the well that fulfills our deepest desires. Jesus is the bubbling spring from which we drink, never to thirst again. Like the Israelites, we are in the desert. And we have still some wandering to do. We should not be surprised to have hot days, hungry days, thirsty days, and maybe along the way, we will grumble. But bring your grumbling and complaints to the Lord in trust, knowing that He hears your pleas and answers your prayers. Maybe not always as we would like, and maybe not as quickly as we would want. Like the Israelites, we may even ask, is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not? And the answer is yes. Yes, yes. He will never leave us. And with that, we can be satisfied. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.